my soul. It is good to know Jesus, isn't it? I am His and He is mine. Hallelujah. And what a blessing to be saved by the grace of God. And if you have your Bible with you, the Gospel of John this morning, John chapter number 8. And I mentioned already it is Memorial Day weekend. And you know, I believe I've kind of had this concern for a number of years now that many in our nation do not really understand the purpose and meaning of Memorial Day. And for many, it's the start of the summer travel plans and the pools in the community open up and all of these types of things. And really, it has nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with the many that have given their lives in defense of the freedom of our nation. It's a day of remembrance to remember those that gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have freedom here in America. And I'm thankful for the freedom that we have, and it's a blessing. And we ought never forget. I was talking to the teenagers this morning during the teen Sunday school class, and we live so close to Washington, D.C., and there's so many memorials that are there that we have the privilege of being able to easily go and visit and to be reminded of the rich heritage that we have as a nation and those that gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have freedom today. It's about 1.3 million people is the estimate of those that have given their lives for us to have freedom, and what a blessing, and we're thankful for that sacrifice. We do not take it lightly. As a believer, I am thankful. If you begin to think about who we are, our identity in Christ, first and foremost, I am not an American. First and foremost, I am a child of God. I'm a Christian, amen? I have dual citizenship. My citizenship is in heaven, and what a blessing. I'm not home. I'm going home, praise the Lord, but as a individual living here upon planet Earth, I am blessed and we are blessed to live in America and to call this land our home, and what a blessing that is. But this morning, I don't want to just focus on the freedom that we have as Americans, and I'm thankful for that. Don't misunderstand. I'm very grateful for the freedoms that we have, but I want to focus upon the freedom that we have in Christ. What a blessing to understand the truth of the Word of God with regard to the freedom that we have in Christ. I have you here in John chapter number 8. I do not have the time this morning to go through the entirety of the chapter, but we find that according to verses 2 and verse number 20, that Jesus is teaching at the temple here in John chapter number 8. The religious leaders were present. They were not receiving the instruction. Oftentimes, they would hear Jesus teach, and oftentimes, even as they would listen to the teaching of Jesus, they would gather to hear Him so that they might bring some accusation against Him. They weren't gathering so they could learn something. They were gathering so that they could accuse Him of something. And by the way, that's been the case for 2,000 years of church history. There's some people that come to church because they want to get something from God. Amen? There's some people to go to church because they want to criticize someone or the preaching or whatever it might be. But the reality is that that's nothing new. Jesus dealt with it there in John chapter number 8, but guess what He did? He just kept on preaching, amen? And He just kept on giving the truth, and we find that as you study through the portion of Scripture, not only on two occasions does the gospel tell us that He's teaching there at the temple, but according to verse 21 and 24, on three different times in those two verses, Jesus makes this statement, "Ye shall die in your sins." Look at it in verse 21. "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Again in verse 24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." It's all about who Jesus is, amen? The purpose of the church is to exalt and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, and we seek through all that we do to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him, amen? And we find that Jesus says to these religious leaders, those that were gathered on this particular day, that "I said therefore unto you that you should die in your sins." Why? "For if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Jesus would say in just a few chapters, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that there is a way, the way, Jesus Christ. We're not left here hopeless and helpless, that Jesus, the Son of God, God in flesh, came to this sin-cursed world, took upon himself the form of a servant, of a man, so that he could die in your place and in my place. And what a blessing. And he says, if you do not believe, if you believe not that I am he. Listen, Jesus is more than a prophet. Amen? He's more than a good man. He's more than, you start listening, no, he is God. Praise the Lord that God has given to us the record that we have in the scriptures. We find that according to John chapter number 8 and verse number 30, notice what the Bible says there in verse number 30, and as he spake these words, notice this, many believed on him. Aren't you thankful that as those that heard the message, they heard what Jesus was saying, that they believed it, they had faith, they believed that what Jesus was saying was true, and they took and they received what he had given. And we find that Jesus speaks directly to this group of people in verse number 32, and it says this, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I'm so thankful that Jesus spoke the truth, that he gave us the truth, that he is truth. We find that the Bible says of itself in John 17 and verse 17, that thy word, sanctify them through thy word is truth. And Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6 that he is truth. And so we find that he speaks this, he makes this great declaration. He says to them, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, the discussion that immediately takes place thereafter is important for us to consider this morning as we get into the message. Notice, if you will, in verse number 33, the Bible says this, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Obviously, these are not the people that believed. These are the other people that are gathered, probably many of the religious leaders. And those religious leaders always taking an issue with what Jesus would teach. And they said this, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage. You know what they were? They were delusional. They were delusional. As they spoke the words, you know who they were in bondage to? The Romans. If they knew anything about their history, you know who they've been in bondage to? The Assyrians and the Babylonians. And you begin to think about even the period of the judges and all the people that oppressed them. And they say, we be Abraham's seed, and we go all the way back to the judges and make that reference because Abraham precedes them, and that really would also include the Egyptian bondage. Amen? And so they're delusional. Can I tell you there are still people that are delusional today? They are. I'm being honest with you. I'm not using the word to be condescending. I'm not trying to be rude or unkind. I'm just simply saying people are delusional. They don't want to accept the truth. And we find here that they say that we have never and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, let me explain something before I get into the next couple of verses. Yes, I already talked about they're delusional and who they'd been in bondage to. They're strictly thinking about it from a physical sense, from a temporal sense. Can I help you understand this morning that oftentimes we look at the scriptures, yes, that there are times in which Jesus will give earthly teachings, but there's always a heavenly truth that goes along with it. And we find that as you study the scriptures, that it's more than just God giving us instruction with regard to temporal things, but with regard to eternal things. Jesus was concerned not about their bondage to the Romans, he was concerned about their bondage to sin. Amen? Now, there were people that wanted to know, when are you going to deliver us from the bondage of the Romans, right? They wanted to be delivered from that. You study through various portions of Scripture in the Gospels and the book of Acts, and various things would happen, and all of a sudden the Romans would ready themselves, and man, it was just a cause for concern and all sorts of things. Why? Because they understood the authority. And some were looking for a deliverer from the Romans. But Jesus was concerned primarily not with their bondage to a people group, but their bondage to sin. The Bible says in verse number 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, notice what he says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. the focus here as Jesus is speaking and teaching at the temple, the focus of the message this morning is freedom from that bondage of sin. See, freedom is defined this way. It's as a state of exemption from the power or control of another. We can think about that freedom. How many young people, I want my freedom, right? They're going to get out of the house and they're going to have their freedom. They're 18 years old and man, they got it all figured out. And all of a sudden they realize that that freedom is going to cost them a lot more than they thought it was going to, and so on and so forth. And people want to leave a certain place on geography, from a geographical perspective, they want to leave a certain place to come to another place. Why? They want freedom from whatever is kind of controlling them and has that power over them. But we think about it in the context of Christianity, in the biblical context, is to set at liberty from the dominion of sin. I've titled the message simply this morning, Do You Want to Be Free? Do you want to be free? And we begin to think about this subject and begin to look at what's taking place here. And I think if we were to talk about it strictly from a temporal perspective, if I were to ask that question to people randomly about freedom, talking about, again, temporally, I think everyone would say, yeah, I want my freedom. But we talk about the freedom that we can have in Christ. Do you want to be free? Do you want to have that freedom from the bondage of sin? Notice with me a few things. We'll look here. We've mentioned several things in John 8. We'll look at Romans as well this morning as we go through the message. Number one, the condition of humanity. The condition of humanity. When we talk about freedom this morning, we see Jesus here dealing with those at the temple. And yes, we see that there are some that believe, but even as he has the interaction with these religious leaders, he tells them that they're going to die in their sin. See, the condition of humanity is that there is sin, the existence of sin. We understand it, and we see that there's a penalty for sin. Look at Romans chapter number 8, if you will, and again, we'll be in the book of Romans several times this morning in a number of different portions of Scripture, because here in the book of Romans, we see a comparative and really a situation where the Scriptures are going to really enlighten us even in a greater way to the truth with regard to this freedom. And we think about the condition of humanity. Look in Romans chapter number 8, in verse number 1, the Bible says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And on this particular point, we're going to focus on verse number 2. Notice the Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, notice this phrase, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Can I tell you that this morning there is the law of sin and death? That law of sin and death that we find that the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We understand according to Romans chapter number 5. In fact, it's maybe on the same page, a page over for you. But in Romans chapter number 5 in verse number 12, the Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Romans 6:23, the first part of the verse says, for the wages of sin is death. And so we find in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 2, when God is revealing to us this truth with regard to the law of sin and death. It is a law that is still operational. It's a law that is functional. It is a law that humanity is subject to. And we find that here, as we understand the law of sin and death, the Bible says that Jesus Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And so I have to understand the condition of humanity. Now understand with me this truth this morning. You can, like the Jews in John chapter number 8, deny the reality. You can say, we be Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage. You can deny the reality, but I encourage you to accept the truth regarding your own condition and the condition of those around us. See, we have to be aware of the fact this morning, we think about the condition of humanity. I understand that many of us here this morning, we've been set free. We have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And I'm so thankful for the gift of God, which is eternal life. Praise God for it. But I want you to understand this morning that the condition of humanity, the law of sin and death, is operational. People that we come in contact with, our loved ones that have not trusted Jesus as their Savior, the law of sin and death, they need to be free. Why? Because they are in bondage. They're in bondage. Notice in 2 Peter chapter number 2, and I just want to reference this. In fact, I added it to my notes this morning. I had Ronnie called me this week on Friday, said, are you preparing your message? I said, no, I've already finished that. I like to be done on Thursdays. It just depends on how the week goes, trying to prepare four messages. It just doesn't always get done by Thursday, but I do like to be done by Thursday. And this morning as I was praying and praying for you and our services, God brought this verse to my mind of 2 Peter chapter 2, and what a blessing to consider the condition of humanity, the blessing that we have to be in Christ, but also understanding that some have believed the lie that's spoken of here in 2 Peter chapter number 2. In the chapter, again, we don't have time to deal with the entirety of the chapter, but it begins in verse number 1 by telling us about the false prophets and that there shall be false teachers among you. Can I tell you that false teachers are very active? False teaching is prevalent. Can I tell you this morning that literally we had Super Saturday a few weeks ago. We tried to get all hands on deck. We had about just under 30 that were here. Do you know weekly at the Kingdom Hall down the road over here, they have hundreds of people going out peddling their false teaching every single week. I go by there. I see them. I see them in the neighborhoods where we go. They're peddling. Listen, the false teaching is out there. It's prevalent. And we find here this morning that it says in 2 Peter 2 and verse number 19, notice this, while they, speaking of those false teachers, while they promise them liberty, again, liberty, we could use that synonym with freedom, and he says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. And so we find that humanity, listen, the condition of humanity, there is the law of sin and death. There's the deception of the enemy. The deception is real. The false teachers are real. The Bible tells us that the little g, God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we find that later in chapter 10, the Bible talks about how Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. The deception is real. It's something we have to be aware of. So we see this morning the condition of humanity. They're in bondage. Listen, this morning, every one of us was in bondage. Amen? Thank God for His grace. Thank God that somebody was willing to preach the gospel. Amen? And go out and put some, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, Romans chapter number 10, amen. They were willing to leave a comfortable church building and go into the highways and byways of life and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God for it. We notice not only the condition of humanity, notice with me the compassion of Christ. Number 2, the compassion of Christ. There in Romans chapter number 8, when we think about the condition of humanity, and we see here about the truth of the law of sin and death, we see also the compassion of Christ. For the verse begins in verse number 2. Well, verse number 1 talks about to them which are in Christ Jesus. Verse number 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Because it's that law, that reality of what Jesus did in his compassion that brings freedom from the law of sin and death. In verse number 3, the Bible says, for what the law could not do. Listen, there's some people that are trying to keep the law. Some people trying to keep the law. Are you going to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, how do you know that? Well, I'm trying to keep the law. Really? How you doing with that? You know what I'm saying? You know what the law does? The law condemns. The law, according to the book of Galatians, cannot give life. The law is a schoolmaster. What does the schoolmaster do? It points us to Jesus, because the law cannot give life. And so the Bible says here in verse number 3, for what the law could not do, it was impossible, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for out and for sin. Notice what the Bible says, condemned sin in the flesh. Praise God for his compassion. See, this morning, we mentioned already about the freedom that we have in America and the 1.3 million or so people that gave, they gave their lives for the freedom that we enjoy. But we understand as believers, there's a cost for freedom. How many of you ever said or you've heard said, we think about the freedom in America, that freedom isn't free? Right? You've heard it, you've said it, and you're familiar with that phraseology that freedom isn't free. There's still countless millions of people that are volunteering in our armed forces today to continue to preserve and protect our freedom. This day, this holiday, is about those that have given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. But we're mindful this morning that freedom isn't free as a nation. When we think about it as Christians, to be free from the bondage of sin, of the law of sin and death, we had to have a sacrifice. We had to have a substitute. Somebody took our place. Listen, we're here enjoying the freedom as Americans this morning because a million point three people gave their lives for our freedom. And I'm telling you this morning that as Christians, as believers, our freedom, it's not 1.3 million, it's one person, God in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that the payment for the freedom has been made, and it's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There you are in the book of Romans. Look in chapter 5 again with me. In Romans chapter number 5, we find that we read verse 12 a moment ago, but look at verse number 8 in Romans chapter number 5. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, what did it do? What's it say? Christ died for us. Praise God. Verse 18, look at what the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse number 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, who's that? Well, that's Adam. We read that already in verse 12 and following. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to what? To condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Peter says that the just for the unjust. And I'm so thankful as we read in the book of 2 Corinthians, for God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And what a blessing to understand the compassion. You read through the gospel records and you read where the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Our God is compassionate. I'm so thankful this morning that the message doesn't end with the condition of humanity. What a sad state we would be in if it was just that God gave us a record that you're all condemned because you rejected me. But we see the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this, we too need to be compassionate. Of some having compassion, Jude, making a difference. People need to see that we love them, that we're compassionate, that we have a desire for people to have that freedom from the bondage of sin. Everybody that you know, everybody that I know that's not saved, they're in bondage to sin. They can deny the reality. But they need to know the condition, they need to understand the condition of their own heart. They need to understand the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this morning as we continue through the thought here with regard to the condition and the compassion. Notice with me number 3, the choice of individuals. Here's the amazing thing. God gives you a choice. God gives a choice. The facts are presented, the truth of the condition of humanity is plainly spelled out throughout the book of the Bible, and we find that the condition is clear, and God repeats it over and over so that individuals will understand their condition. The compassion of Christ is seen throughout the Scriptures. We understand how the Old Testament would point to the fact that Messiah would come, and he would give his life as a ransom so that he could pay for the sin of humanity. Why? Because of that fall, because of that condition. And we see the compassion, and not only the Old Testament pointing to the fact that Jesus would come, but the gospel records giving to each of us the record of his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection. And we find that throughout the New Testament, the message going forth of preaching about the salvation that is available through Jesus Christ alone. But we preach the gospel, and the individual has a choice. We think about the choice of the individual. The choice is very simple. It's either to receive or to reject. The Bible tells us, as we read there just a moment ago in the Gospel of John in chapter number 8, and you look there at verse number 30, and you look there again at verse number 33, as we read those verses a moment ago, each of those people that heard Jesus teach that day at the temple, they had a choice. And the Bible said that some heard him and some believed, and then others said, hey, we're not in bondage to anybody. Some received and some rejected. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 1 that he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I want you to understand that some people say, well, I'm going to just kind of put that off. That's a choice. It's a choice. Harden your heart. Say, maybe one day. No, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. The Bible tells us that no man knoweth what a day may bring forth. The Bible tells us, what is your life? It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our life is like a shadow, the book of Psalms tells us. And we find that there's a choice. Look, if you will, at the book of Acts in chapter 17. I'm going to read two portions of Scripture, one in the book of Acts, one in the book of Romans, to just kind of help us see that the choice of the individual, it's a real thing. Listen, there are times in which we go out and preach the gospel. There are times in which we teach and talk to somebody about their need for salvation, and they may reject it, and we have to be careful not to get discouraged by that. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. Sometimes that's difficult for us as believers. I like to think that everybody that I talk to about Jesus would accept him. I really do. I mean, it's the greatest truth ever told to humanity, that you're a sinner and that you're condemned, but God loves you and he died for you and he offers you eternal life. Like, who would not want that? But so many people that we talk to say, not now, no, I'm okay, maybe later, no, I don't believe it, whatever. They reject. And if we're not careful as the ones bearing the message, we can get discouraged by that, and then we can stop going forth and giving the message because we have this idea, well, no one wants to hear. I preached a message last year to end our missions conference about the seed being in the barn. And the reality is that there were various reasons that they had for not sowing the seed. And sometimes we have, and that was a physical thing, that was sowing the seed out in the field for a harvest, and well, it's not time, it's this, it's that, the weather's not right, you know, fill in the blank what all the problems are on why we're not going to sow the seed. When we begin to think about making the spiritual application, sometimes we don't sow the seed because we say, well, no one wants to hear it. No one's going to believe it. Listen, I believe this morning that Romans 1 and verse 16 is still true. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? And he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. I believe this morning that Jesus still saves. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Praise the Lord that the gospel still works. We find here in Acts chapter number 17, and look in verse number 32, if you will. In Acts chapter number 17, Paul is preaching here. We're getting to the end of the context here. He had been in Thessalonica, had been in Berea, and he goes down to Athens because of some things going on there, and his spirit is stirred within him, and he begins to preach the gospel there. He sees a city that's wholly given to idolatry, and he says this in verse number 23, that he passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Aren't you thankful to know him and to be able to declare him? We find that you come to verse 32. The Bible says this, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. The beginning of verse number 34 says, howbeit certain men clave unto him, and what? And believed. Listen, the response is going to be mixed. Why? Because there's the choice of the individual. If you could make someone get saved, I'd question their salvation. Why? Because it's not a force thing. We don't believe in conversion by force. We're not going to make somebody come down. Listen, when I deal with kids, I am so cautious dealing with kids. So cautious. Man, I'll ask them 105 different ways if I can figure them out. I just ask them and re-ask them and ask them and ask them and ask them. Why? Because I want to make sure they understand it. with our own children. I would deal with them and then holler. I said, all right, now go talk to mom. And then if you're still good after talking to mom, then they come back and talk to me. Well, not because they can't be saved, but I want to make sure they understand. I can't force conversion. Because if it's forced, it's not genuine. It's not real conversion. And how many people could have a false sense of security and not truly be saved? So we find here that there's going to be this mixed response. Why? Because everyone has a choice. And it's important that we see the choice of the individual. Now listen, it'd be my prayer that everyone would choose Jesus. Amen? That you just choose to be saved and choose to live for Christ. But I understand this, not even everyone that's saved actually lives for Him. Am I right? Not everyone that's saved even lives for Him, and that's sad. Because when we understand what He's done for us, we ought to say, I want to live for Him. So we find here the choice. Look in Romans chapter number 10. In Romans chapter number 10, again, another familiar portion of Scripture as we look at this truth with regard, do you want to be free? Listen, we live in the midst of a place where we have freedom as Americans, but so many Americans are in bondage to sin. They're lost, and they need to be saved by the grace of God. The message of freedom that we preach is the message of freedom that they need. Because the greatest need of those in John 8 was not to be delivered from the bondage of the Romans. It was the bondage of sin. And here we are living in a free place in America. And yet so many are in bondage. So many are in bondage. And can I tell you that the bondage that they're in is worse? It's worse. Remember what Jesus said when He was dealing there with the man that was born blind, and He goes through that whole dialogue and all the religious leaders are doubting that it's him and all the situation that's going on, and Jesus has demonstrated his power over blindness and healed. And then at the end of that whole passage, the religious leaders, they say this, are we blind also? You know what the truth is there? That Jesus is revealing there's a truth of physical blindness, but there's the truth of spiritual blindness. Can I tell you, it'd be far better to be blind physically and to be able to see spiritually than to be able to see physically and to be blind spiritually. In fact, when we went to Israel at this point four years ago into Israel, and on one of the days we went, and man, it was an awesome experience. We went to the garden tomb, and as we went in there, you take your tour and what have you, and you go through the whole thing, and you take your tour, and then they bring your whole group to a particular spot, and there's somebody that's going to talk to you. And it was extremely obvious that the individual is going to talk to us. I don't remember his name. Do you remember his name? Peter. Peter was the guy's name. Peter. And Peter was obviously blind. He was obviously blind. But he came up and he said, there was a day that I was blind spiritually too, but I got saved by the grace of God. Amen. And he started talking about his testimony. And I'm telling you what, you hear a blind man physically, make that connection and make that application to being saved and being able to see spiritually, it was exciting. Praise the Lord. See, when we look at this thing of bondage and we see the condition, listen, there's a choice. I can't make the choice for them. In Romans chapter number 10, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 9, notice here, it says this, that if thou, that's singular, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now remember what Jesus said in John chapter number 3 when Nicodemus is talking to Him. He says, that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Listen, every single person has to be born again. Ye is plural. But here, as we're reading, it's a personal decision. It's an individual choice. And we find that he says in verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Aren't you thankful? Listen, in God's economy, there's lost and they're saved. And He died for everyone. He's no respecter of persons. And the Bible says in verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We see the choice of the individual. This morning, we see the condition of humanity. We see the compassion of Christ. We see the choice of the individual. Let me say this, number four, if you're taking notes, the consequence of your choice. The consequence of your choice. I only have 2 points this evening, so I kind of balance it out. 4 this morning, 2 tonight, amen? But we look here, and look at the consequence of your choice. The Lord offers freedom to every individual. But He doesn't force it. He didn't make those religious leaders whom He told them, "Ye shall die in your sins." He knew that He would go to the cross and die for them and pay for their sin to offer them the freedom, but He didn't force it. He didn't make them. We think about the consequence of our choice. He, the Lord, gives you the opportunity. It's important, however, that we understand the consequence of that choice. See, so often today people have this idea, I have my freedom, I have my choice, I can do what I want. It's kind of nonsense, and I don't want to get into all of that this morning. And at a certain level, there is a truth that you can do what you want. But you're responsible for what you do. You're accountable for what you do, right? Does that make sense? You can go out and you can break the law, but if you do, you're responsible, you're accountable for it. And so we find this morning that when we understand the consequence of your choice, Jesus is not going to make you accept Him. But for those that do, the consequence is great. For those who do not, the consequence is known as well. Notice in John chapter number 3, we'll deal on the negative side of it first. Those that would reject, they hear the truth of the gospel. They understand, as we have looked here in John chapter number 8 and Romans chapter number 8, that there's this law that's existing, and it's the law of sin and death, and that you're in bondage, and that Jesus has provided the freedom and the truth shall make you free. But you say, no, I'm going to reject that. That's not for me. I don't believe that. Let that be for someone else. That's your decision. But there's a consequence. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." Notice this, "but the wrath of God abideth on him." Someone wrote a gospel tract years ago, "What do I have to do to go to hell?" Nothing. Nothing, because you're condemned already. You're condemned already. And here's the reality. When the Bible says at the end of verse number 36 here that he that believeth not the Son, notice it says, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Can I tell you that eternity is a long time? Just read Ecclesiastes yesterday, and the Bible says that man goeth to his long home. And when it says that the wrath of God abideth on him, listen, there's some people today that think they're living up life. Oh, they're in bondage. They think they have liberty. We looked at that in 2 Peter chapter number 2. They're in bondage. They think that they have some kind of freedoms and liberties, and they're enjoying whatever they're enjoying. But the reality is that death comes for every single person. The rich, the poor, comes to everyone. The young, the old, right? And at that moment, the Bible says that the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The truth of Revelation chapter number 20, man goes, those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not believe on the Lord, they do not have life, the wrath of God abideth on him. They'll be separated from God forever. Hell and then the lake of fire. Bible says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Listen, that's not a party. Separation from God forever. Torment, torture. God doesn't want that for anyone. We read that already, or I referenced that already in 2 Peter chapter 3, that He's not willing that any should perish. But He doesn't force the individual to make the choice of accepting. Does that make sense? So we come here and we see the consequence of the choice for those that reject, but then think about the consequence of the choice for those that receive. The Bible said there at the beginning of the verse, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Aren't you thankful for that? Look in John chapter number 10, one of my favorite portions of Scripture dealing with the security of the believer and understanding what we have in Christ and the consequence of our choice. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 10, and beginning there in verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Oh, man, the security. The Bible says that we're kept by the power of God. The Bible tells us that we have an inheritance that's reserved in heaven for us. It's a wonderful promise that we find the consequence of our choice, because everyone has a choice. And you have the right to your choice. I have the right to do... You're perfectly fine. Absolutely. But would you understand the consequence, the responsibility of the choice that you make? No one's going to force you to choose Jesus. But I would beg you to choose Jesus. Why? Because the consequences are too great. The Bible says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Many of you have heard me say this before. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And when makes all the difference. Because if you choose Jesus, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, on this side of eternity, you'll spend forever with Him. But after you take that final breath here on earth, you will bow the knee and your tongue will confess, but it will be eternally too late. You'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's the authority of God's Word. Now, I know this morning that I'm preaching mainly to saved people. I understand that. And I hope that when we think about this thing of, do you want to be free, that we can think back in our own minds of when we got saved by the grace of God, that we can look back in our own lives and think about the bondage that we were in, but now understanding the freedom that we have in Christ. I said this on Wednesday evening, the freedom in Christ. In fact, let me talk just to the believers for a little while. Look over at Galatians chapter number 5. I mentioned this briefly there on Wednesday evening about the freedom that we have in Christ as being saved, and what a great blessing it is to know the Lord and to be saved. And you've made the right choice. You chose Jesus and you accepted Him as your personal Savior. Somebody gave you the gospel and you understand there was nothing you could do. You were condemned already. Amen? We're hopeless and helpless, but God, who is rich in mercy, praise the Lord. I was dead, my trespasses and sins, and so were you. The condition of humanity, we're in bondage to sin. But we find that we've made that right choice and we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so now understand, as we conclude here this morning, just for a little bit, dealing with this idea. Yes, the message primarily dealing with, if you're not saved, if you're in bondage, would you be saved? Today is the day of salvation. But what about those of us that are saved? The Bible tells us this in Galatians chapter number 5. Notice it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us, what? Free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know what happens sometimes? We don't understand fully the freedom that we have in Christ. Sometimes people have this idea that I'm free in Christ. I've been saved and I can do whatever I want to do now. That's not freedom. It's not freedom. In fact, in verse 13 here in Galatians chapter number 5, it says this, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The freedom that we have now is that I have the freedom to live for Christ. I have the freedom to serve Him. I have the freedom to please Him. I have the freedom. Listen, I couldn't do any of that before I got saved. I was in bondage to sin. I couldn't please the Lord. I couldn't serve the Lord. I couldn't pray and give the gospel and do all those things that I now have freedom to be able to do, and I have freedom to please the Lord. You know, a lost man can't please the Lord. Can't. Lost man can't please God. But you know what the idea of the saved person, what does Paul say to Timothy? He tells him there to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He tells him that he might please him. Paul had the desire to please the Lord. We studied that last year a little bit in 2 Corinthians. You study in chapter number 5. He lived so that he could please the Lord. And we understand this morning that that freedom that we have, listen, he says, listen, don't you have freedom, but be careful that you're not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Contextually, what's happened there in the region of Galatia, the first missionary journey, Paul goes forth and he goes with the gospel and people get saved. There are four churches that are established in the region of Galatia. And right afterwards, the Judaizers come in and they start trying to teach them that you need to follow all of these things of the law. And Paul says, no, 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 do not be entangled with the bondage. Why? Because the law could never bring salvation. In fact, he's already dealt with that in this same book in chapter number 3 in verse number 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But what do we find? Well, the scripture hath concluded all under sin. So we find that what the law does is it says you're a sinner. Paul says if there's not, in Romans, he says, listen, if there's not been a law that said thou shalt not covet, I wouldn't have known that I was coveting. Right? That's the purpose. That's the idea. And so we find here that what happens sometimes is we want to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And Paul says, listen, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then he tells them another thing that's taking place. And so that there's no misunderstanding as he gets there to verse number 13. Listen, don't go to the other end of the spectrum and think that I have freedom and that means I can do whatever I want to do. I've met people that say, well, I'm going to heaven when I die because I accepted Jesus and I can just live however I want to live. Well, we talked about that choice thing. But there's responsibility and there's accountability. The chastening of the Lord is a real thing. And if you want to deal with the chastisement of the Lord, that's up to you, man. That's the decision that you make and the consequence that follows. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That's what the Bible says. And so we find here this morning that, listen, many of us have been saved. We have been made free. My question is simply this. Are we living in the freedom that we have in Christ? Not the freedom to go do whatever we want to do. Listen, I believe today that the generation in America doesn't understand freedom properly. We talk about it nationally. I don't think they understand freedom properly. All right? But as believers, because that's the focus of the message, because we're a church, I'm not a politician, I'm not trying to be out there and deal with the problems in society from that perspective, but as a bunch, as a church, a body of believers, what am I saying? Listen, don't misunderstand your freedom. We have freedom to serve Christ. We have freedom to live for Him. We have freedom to please Him. And what a blessing that is. Listen, I don't know if you remember what it was to be bound by sin. I don't remember if you knew what it was to be in that place, as Paul talks about in the book of Romans, when he was in bondage to sin. Romans chapter number 6 talks about it quite a bit, and talking about the fact that we have been made free. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Listen, I'm thankful to no longer be under the dominion of sin. Those people in John chapter number 8, they heard Jesus speak. They heard Him teach. And as He is teaching, He tells them, if you continue My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And there were those that were delusional, and they said, we've never been in bondage. And Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I'm thankful for the freedom that I have as an American, but more importantly than that, I'm thankful for the freedom that I have in Christ. You know what the reality is this morning? I hope this doesn't happen. I'm not trying to be prophetic. I'm just being real with you. Somebody could come and take our freedom as Americans. Right? Oh, it's never going to happen. You better get your head out of the sand. I hope that it never happens, but it is absolutely possible that our freedom as Americans could be taken away. But you know what I'm thankful for? No one can take away my freedom that I have in Christ. Amen. Nobody. Nobody. And I'm so thankful to have that freedom. Yes, I'm thankful for the freedom that I have as an American. But more importantly and more precious is the freedom that I have in Christ. And we know so many people that have freedom as Americans, but they're in bondage to sin. And the question is this, what do we do about it? Are we going out there preaching the gospel? Are we telling about the compassion of Christ? Are we being compassionate to tell them of the one who died for them so that they could be delivered from the bondage of sin and have freedom that we love and enjoy, the freedom that we have to serve Him and to please Him, to come boldly under the throne of grace? I couldn't do that when I was lost. Listen, the Old Testament folks, they couldn't do that either. Only the high priest once a year could go into the Holy of Holies. But now you and I, every day of our lives, we can come boldly under the throne of grace. Why? Because I have freedom in Christ. It's a blessing. And so this morning, do you want to be free? You say, I already am. Then live in freedom. Don't be entangled with the bondage. And don't use the freedom as an occasion to the flesh. Please Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the Word of God, and thank You for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's one present here or tuned in via live stream, Lord, they have a choice to make today. No one can force them. The choice is an individual choice. We've seen it. We've looked at it from the Scriptures in a variety of places. And God, I pray that they'd make the right choice, that they would confess with their mouth and believe in their heart, that they would call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, recognizing that they're in bondage to sin. That law of sin and death is active and functioning. But I'm thankful for the compassion of Christ. Lord, I pray that that individual would trust Christ today. Lord, I pray for every person that's been saved by the grace of God. Would You help us to live in freedom? Would You help us to please You with our lives? Thank You for the work that You do in and through us. I pray that You'd be honored and glorified. Give us a passion to reach the lost. So many that live in freedom as a citizen of this nation, but are in bondage to sin. And that's got eternal consequences. Give us a burden. Give us a passion. I pray that You'd have Your will and way in these moments of invitation, and we'll give You the glory for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Kimberly's going to play quietly on the piano. If you're a man and not sure of heaven, Brother Mark.